Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Oh, it's my turn.
It is.
Top of the hour to everybody. 4 o'clock. Welcome back to Gwynn and Chris. Chris Ella. Tony Gwynn Jr. hanging out a full 4 hours with you today until 7 o'clock. Padres have the day off, then back to work tomorrow against the Arizona Diamondbacks. Another home series with the Diamondbacks, such as the strange schedule. Remember, the Padres already hosted the Arizona for 4 games to open the season. They got 3 more with them at Petco Park this weekend. And then next Monday through Thursday, Padres will be in Los Angeles to face the Dodgers. Zach Davies is going to be on the mound tomorrow night, Tony. I don't know that there's been an announcement yet for Saturday, although I would certainly expect it to be Chris Paddock. That way they can bring him back to pitch against the Dodgers next Thursday in L.A. I thought maybe Luis Patino would get a start in there, but the fact that he made his debut last night probably means he'll stay in the bullpen, at least for the time being. But Jace Tingler is being very cagey with his pitching announcements, and we talked about that before this season, Tony, with kind of the strange season. I think you should be really cagey with your pitching announcement. Keep the other teams guessing a little bit. Why not?
We did say that. We definitely said that. And, you know, I don't have a problem with it. I mean, that seems like that's what teams have been doing to us for forever, how long now. And now maybe it's our time to be cagey with everybody else. Just wanted to throw this out there. The Rockies took down the Giants 6-4 today. Rockies now 9-3.
Oh my goodness! Well, they've won. You know, they've played 4 series. They've won them all. So give Bud Black's club a little credit. They go to Seattle this weekend.
Is that you think that's real?
Do I think the Rockies are real? As long as
offensively, they're definitely there for real.
They're always going to be there offensively. What they've been getting is just really good starting pitching. I mean, Germán Márquez is turning into one of the better guys in the league.
Today it was Freeland.
Freeland pitched 6 shutout innings today. All the runs they gave up today were in their bullpen. I beg your pardon, he gave up a 3-run homer in the 7th, but he had them shut out through 6. So he gave them a good quality start again. And John Gray has been really good. Senzatella's been pretty good. I think he's 2-0.
Senzatella's been really good, yeah.
Right. So if they get 4 guys, they're pitching. I mean, you match those 4 guys up against the Padres' top 4, and you're like, it's not even a contest. But you know what? Those 4 guys are pitching really, really well. And
they are.
Anytime the Rockies can hold you to under 3 or 4 runs, they're probably going to beat you. So I don't know that it's for real, but, you know, I was thinking of this the other day, Tony. The Rockies are, what now, 9-3?
9-3,
there's only 38 games left or 48 games left. If they play just
that's
500
so crazy,
ball.
By the way.
Right. If they play 500 ball, and that's a big if, but if they do, they're going to easily be in the playoffs because they'd be 6 games over .500 at the end of the season. So I think Colorado's certainly good for one of those wild card bursts, at least at the moment. That's for sure. We'll see.
Yeah, no doubt.
They haven't played the Dodgers yet. So that's, you know, that's the gut check for them is when they get their games against the Dodgers. I think they only beat the Dodgers 3 times last year.
Yeah, they struggled a little bit with the old Dodgers.
Oh, my God. They got annihilated by the Dodgers last year. So we will see. But, yeah, good start for Bud Black and the Rockies. So, anyway, Padres are sitting, I believe, what, 2.5 out of first place now in the NL West.
2.5
nothing,
out.
Yeah, nothing to be too overly concerned about. All right, Chris versus the Fans is coming up. Chance to win a Padres brown and gold opening day hat featuring the Swinging Friar on the front. These were the hats that were going to be given away on opening day way back in March. So they are a collector's item, and you can win one right now as we get ready to play that famous game show.
If you had one shot, one opportunity to take down the human almanac himself.
Howdy do.
Now is your time.
Listen to me, this guy is dangerous.
Now is your opportunity to win a prize.
Well, I hope you know what you're in for.
Chris versus the fans starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
Scraby, why don't you give us the old rules?
You have to make it through your three questions. Each question will get more difficult. If you get the question right, you move on. If you get it wrong and Chris gets it right, you are eliminated. But if Chris gets it wrong, then you move on to the next question or you win.
All right. Without further ado, let's get to Chris versus the fan. And we jump right in with our first contestant, Philip out in Mission Valley. Philip, welcome to the show.
Philippe.
Philippe, how's your Thursday
Hi,
going?
Hi, guys. I'm here. Happy Thursday to you.
Happy
I
Thursday
thought you said
to you.
Philippe. No, Philippe.
No, last time you said Philippe.
Yeah, remember Philippe Navidad?
All right, Scraby, you're just...
stop it. Just stop it. Here we go. First question, Philip.
Those are good jokes.
Those are good jokes.
Those would be the opposite of good jokes. What baseball team did Patrick Mahomes just become a part owner of?
Kansas City Royals.
The Kansas City Royals. Nice work.
Wow. Up one down.
Clipping through these first questions, huh?
Bring it. Go.
Question number two.
Wow, I wasn't trying to go against you, but anyway.
Look at you just shriveling under pressure right there, Scrape. Question number two. Which, check that. How many games was Joe DiMaggio's hit streak record?
56.
That is Scraby. Correct.
Wow.
Hey, Scraby.
Uh-oh.
Scraby.
Uh-oh.
Bring it.
Bring it.
Hey, yeah, Philip. Philip, real quick. Yeah, do you know how many games he hit in a row after his streak was broken?
We don't need you to prove your prowess here.
I'm just giving him a little extra fun and information. After Joe DiMaggio's 56-game hit streak was broken, he then got a hit in 17.
I think we lost Chris.
Oh, my
gosh. I'm right here.
So do I win by default?
No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
Here we
what are you
go.
Talking about? I was giving the guy a little bit of
How do you know
trivia.
That's not my next question?
It's not your next question.
Tony, you don't need to tell him that.
Whatever.
What? No, Chris, what was it? He hit 17 more times? Is that what it was? 17 more
I'm
games?
Not going to tell you. If you weren't paying attention,
you know what? You just ruined
to, you
that information,
information
for a bunch of people out there that might have wanted to know, Scrape. Nice work.
Yeah.
Here we go. Question number three. What pitcher threw the first perfect game in the history of Major League Baseball all the way back in 1904?
I can't answer that, to be honest.
You don't have a guess?
I'm trying to... I mean, God, guess of 1904 pitchers, do you?
yeah, I do.
he says no guess. Scraby asked well, for a guess, and then he buzzes him out of the game.
He told me.
Chris, for the steal.
Yes. They do not call it the Christy Mathewson Award. They do not call it the Walter Johnson Award. They call it the Cy Young Award.
Cy Young?
Yeah. You ever heard of him?
Yeah. I thought he played later than that, so.
All right.
Nope. Unfortunately.
Thanks for calling,
Philip.
Philip, thanks for being a good player here.
I feel
even
bad
Scraby
because,
was being a jerk to you the whole time.
He's been
being
trying
a jerk
all
the whole,
week.
The whole time, Scraby.
I wasn't being a jerk.
You kind of were. I mean, I was just adding a little information to the Joe DiMaggio hit streak, and you didn't like it.
Scraby gets a little jealous when you start dropping history
on
him.
I think Chris gets a little jealous when someone answers a question
that
he knows.
So wrong. You have got me so wrong on that. I root for these people to win. I was giving the guy a little extra knowledge. That's all I was doing.
I think a lot of times, Scraby, you're the one that generally wants Chris not to do well.
You could be, yeah, that's right. I mean, I'm not going to lie.
All right, let's get to our next contestant. Dan out in Oklahoma. Welcome to Gwen and Chris. How you doing today?
Hey, good guy. Yeah.
Hey, we're Dan. Well. Here we go, Dan. First question. You really worked hard on these ones, Greg. What number does Aaron Rodgers wear?
I think it's 12.
I think you're right. Nice work.
Numbers are
we
hard,
move on
though.
To qu-
numbers
we
are
move
hard,
on.
Sometimes it can be confusing.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, Scraby. Was I not allowed to speak there?
No, you definitely were. Oh, you were. Well, you were just you. Affirming me.
Thank you.
You were affirming me. All right, then, here we go. Question number two. Which team won their 27th World Series in 2009?
That's got to be Yankees, right?
Are you asking me?
Yeah, the Yankees.
The Yankees is correct. Nice work.
The Yankees.
Do you have anything to add about the 27th championship, Chris?
Shut up, Scraby.
Here we go. Question number three. Steven Strasburg, you know the San Diego State Aztec, once upon a time, struck out 14 and got the win in his Major League debut. What team did he beat that day?
I'll go with the Philadelphia Phillies.
The Philadelphia Phillies? That is incorrect. Close, though. Very
right
close.
State. Wrong team. Pittsburgh Pirates.
The Pittsburgh Pirates.
Yep.
That is correct.
Sorry, Dan.
Sorry, Dan.
Sorry, Dan. I remember Let's that game to... like it was yesterday, Tony. I was hanging on every word of that pit, that
yeah,
ball
I think
game.
Delwin Young was the first
ready to go.
That's right.
I think Delwin Young was the first one to get a hit off of Strasburg.
Was he?
That day.
Delwin
yes.
Young. I haven't heard Delwin thought about Young. That name in a long time.
I've gotten a Delwin Young reference in a while.
Here we go. First, to our next contestant, Sean Allen Frauberg. Sean, how you doing today?
What's cracking, guys?
What's cracking, Sean? Here we go. First question. What Florida NFL team used to feature a two-color helmet?
Jacksonville Jaguars.
Nice work, Sean. That works for you. Let's move to question number two. What team did Bruce Arians officially make his debut with as head coach?
The Arizona Cardinals.
The Arizona Cardinals. That is correct.
Caller's been racing through these first two questions.
This, the third question has been the trip up every time. Here we go, Sean. Question number three. In my second season in the big leagues, I hit the first pitch home run, first pinch hit home run in World Series history. Who am I?
Can you repeat the question? I'm sorry.
Repeat the question. All right.
I honestly thought the question was like, I'm Tony Gwynn. Who did I hit a home run off of?
I thought so. I thought so, too, as I read.
I see. Because he's reading it that way. No, right. He's reading it as the answer.
I'm reading it as the answer.
Yes,
the question is, in my second season in the big leagues, I hit the first pinch hit home run in World Series history. Who am I?
I have no idea. That's a third question for sure. I'll guess Buster Posey.
Buster Posey.
Is he related to Buster Posey?
I think he might be related to Buster Posey. Chris,
right
for the
position.
Steal.
Right position. But I believe it's Yogi.
Yogi Berra. That is correct.
Good job, Chris.
What's Sean, right. thank you
Thanks,
for
Sean.
Competing. Can we take another one?
We don't. I think we should save our prize for tonight's pop quiz.
Oh, we have All a pop right. quiz today. That's
we
right.
do. We do. And
we can do that.
And I've run out of questions. So.
Yeah. he got his board just chopped down to a mere five questions total.
The good news for me is that I got the questions right. The bad news for me is that Scraby hates me when I get the questions.
No. If you knew that last one, you deserve to win. You didn't.
Yeah, well, he did.
You mean
did.
If I didn't know? Okay.
Yeah.
He knew it. He knew it. Sorry, buddy.
Sorry to everyone on the phone.
Sorry to everyone on the phone.
Call back for pop quiz at 6:20.
Chris, take us home.
It makes this a great game. It's Chris versus the fans. Sometimes the fans light it up. They run away with the game. I got to sit there when they do that. Some days I have the answers.
Those are facts.
That's the fun of Chris versus the fans, man. I think our callers enjoy it. And I think that the other people that don't call in, they should try and call in and play and have some fun. But I still think people like to play along with the game. And this was just one of those days where you hit me in a couple places where I happen to know the answers. That's all, Scraby.
You were very...
Don't be so sour.
No, I'm not sour. You were valiant.
Sour, man.
You were valiant. You were valiant.
Y'all should see Scraby's face on Zoom. He's so sour right now.
So sour. Don't do that, Scraby. It's not good for you. Didn't your mother ever tell you your face might get stuck in that?
My mom used to tell me that all the time.
All the time.
And I believed her like an idiot,
right,
too.
When we come back, we're going to...
We're
going to switch over to a little NBA discussion. Ryan McDonough from Radio.com. Boy, the NBA is really nailing it, Tony. I mean, it's unbelievable. 100% negative test rate in the NBA. And we should say the same thing for the NHL. Both leagues are getting it done. But I think most of us are more interested in the NBA. LeBron James, some news on him as well. Ryan McDonough will share it all with us when we come back on Gwynn and Chris, San Diego's number one sports talk station. This is 97.3 The Fan.
4:22 on the clock, Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ello. Earlier today,
champion! I don't get to say that every day.
The champ is here!
Champ is here because you guys get to say that whenever we play pop quiz.
Well, Scraby hasn't said it in a while.
It's been a long time, Scraby, since you've been able to say it, and we'll see if you keep your streak miserable futility alive later today.
Earlier today, Chris and I caught up with Ryan McDonough, Radio.com Sports NBA Insider, to talk what's going on in the Orlando bubble, the success of it, plus there's some teams scrapping for that eighth seed in the West.
Hanging out on the SDCCU fan hotline is Radio.com Sports Insider Ryan McDonough. And, of course, Insider Calls brought to you by Pennzoil. Motor oil's made from natural gas. The proof is in the Pennzoil. And, Ryan, our NBA insider, isn't it nice to have an NBA insider on a radio interview to actually talk about NBA games? Ryan, thanks so much for joining us. How's it going?
It's going great. Thanks for having me. And again, we have six games today. It seems like we have six every day at this point. As you know, they start early and they go late. And so I'm excited to join you, especially with all the good basketball going on right now.
Yeah, let me ask you, what's the atmosphere like there? I think they've done a great job on television. We've been watching from over here in the West Coast, and I mean, it's a sensational feel and look, and just the buzz and all of the lights and the colors and the court, and I mean it's actually a very nice presentation.
I think the NBA has done a great job with that. The feedback I get from people who are in the bubble with the 22 teams who are playing in Orlando is that before the game, it's a little bit weird. You know, before there is obviously no fans in the stands. The fans are all virtual. There's, you know, limited noise. I think there's some, you know, traditional warm-up music, but it's kind of weird. I think it's more like an AAU feel where you're warming up in an empty gym. But everybody says once the ball goes up and the actual game starts with the music, with the virtual fans, the NBA has done a great job of making it very lifelike and realistic. And I've been very impressed, you know, with the competitiveness of most of the teams in the bubble, almost all the 22 teams in the bubble. I think the concern, especially after the 4.5 month layoff that I had and others had around the league, is that, you know, what kind of shape would the players be in returning to play? And I think by and large, most of the close to 350 players playing in Orlando stayed in very good shape. And I think that is reflected in the quality of play over the past week.
Ryan, let's talk a little bit about the actual teams and how the playoff structure could set up. Portland came in playing some pretty good basketball. The Suns have played some good basketball. Seems like a lot of teams who were fighting for that ninth spot, maybe with the exception of New Orleans, is playing well. And Memphis seems to not really be kept playing any well. And now with Jackson out, it seems like their hopes for the playoffs are getting smaller.
Yeah, Tony, the Grizzlies have been in a free fall. It couldn't have gone any worse so far for them in the bubble. They were the odds-on favorite to get the 8th seed in the Western Conference, and the betting odds in Vegas reflected that. And since that point, Memphis has gone 0-4. They're without their backup point guard, Tyus Jones. But more importantly, as you mentioned, Jaren Jackson Jr., their talented young big man, one of the best young bigs in the league, tore his meniscus the other day. So the Grizzlies are falling. The Portland Trailblazers are surging. Portland is only a game back now of Memphis. And keep in mind, guys, we are looking at now a likely play-in scenario in the Western Conference. In order for that play-in scenario to happen, the 9th seed has to be within 4 games of the 8th seed. And right now in the West, there are 5 games, five teams within 4 games of the Memphis Grizzlies, who are in 8th. So looking at the standings, I think a play-in scenario is likely at this point. The question I have is just, who are those two teams going to be? Yeah. Personally, I think Portland's going to be one of them, although that is definitely not certain with the Blazers' remaining schedule. But, who's going to be in 8th and who's going to be in 9th? And then, who's going to play for the 8th seed in the Western Conference? I think that remains up in the air, especially as the Grizzlies continue their free fall and remain winless in Orlando.
Yeah, no question. Ryan McDonough, NBA Sports NBA Insider, joining us on the Radio.com Sports Insider SDCCU Fan Hotline from Orlando, where the NBA is back in action. And you know what? That 8th seed, Ryan, I know people probably at first glance look at it and say, well, that means you have to run into the Lakers. But now I'm getting word that LeBron James is out of the lineup tonight against the Rockets. The Lakers are citing a sore groin injury. Should I be very concerned about the future health of LeBron James now that the Lakers have clinched the number one seed, that they would sit him out of a game?
No, I would not be concerned about that. That groin injury has been nagging LeBron for a while now. But what I think your listeners, especially the diehard Lakers fans in Southern California, may be concerned about is just the fact that the Lakers haven't looked very good through their first 3 or 4 games in the bubble. I think they're 2-2. As you mentioned, LeBron's not going to play tonight. It is a back-to-back scenario. Lakers got beat pretty good by the OKC Thunder last night. And, guys, just looking at the teams, I think one of the questions that I had that Brian Scalabrine and I talked a lot about on our show on Scal and Pals is, who's going to have the continuity and who's going to have the carryover from early to mid-March pre-pandemic, and which teams are going to look the same, which teams are going to look better, which teams are going to look worse? And I think the bad news for Lakers fans is the Lakers haven't looked very good so far. Same with the Milwaukee Bucks, the favorite in the Eastern Conference, who are they're currently getting beat pretty good by the Miami Heat. The good news, I guess, for the second-tier contenders, I'm looking at teams like the Toronto Raptors and Boston Celtics in the Eastern Conference, and in the Western Conference, a team like the OKC Thunder, maybe the Houston Rockets. I think there really is an opportunity, guys. I think, throughout the course of the regular season prior to the pandemic shutdown, the clear three best teams were the two in your neck of the woods, the Lakers and Clippers and the Milwaukee Bucks. And I think over the past week in the bubble, the contenders or the elite contenders haven't looked great. And some of the second-tier contenders led by the Toronto Raptors have looked very good to me.
Now, Ryan, let's talk about that a little further. Do you think that is, I don't want to say strategy, but do you think they're kind of easing their way into the playoffs? Because all three of the teams that you named, the Bucks, the Lakers, the Clippers, really haven't looked good. And LeBron James hasn't played at the level we were seeing him play before the break took place. What do you think plays into that?
Yeah, I think there are a lot of factors, Tony. I think the first one, as a former professional athlete, is motion. The Lakers aren't playing for a whole lot right now. They already clinched the number one seed in the Western Conference. That means less than it usually does because of no home court advantage and because of no travel. All the games are in Orlando. But it is still meaningful and gives the Lakers a big advantage, guys, just because whoever gets the 8th seed in the West is going to have a battle, right? They're going to have to battle through their 8th seeding games. They're going to have to beat out 5 other teams of the 6 in the mix for 8th in the West. And then they're also likely going to have to play 1 or 2 play-in games just to get the 8th seed, where Lakers can do what they're doing tonight. They can rest LeBron James. They can limit the minutes for LeBron and AD like Frank Vogel did in the game last night. So the Lakers are still in good position. The question I have watching them play without Avery Bradley, who opted out of the restart, and now without Rajon Rondo, who's out with thumb surgery, although Rondo looks like he's getting closer to returning over the next couple weeks, is, do the Lakers have enough secondary playmaking? We all know how great LeBron James and Anthony Davis are, but down the stretch, especially in possession-by-possession tight games, who else is going to step up for the L.A. Lakers to make plays when teams try to take away LeBron and AD?
You want this kind of great NBA stuff, you can hear Ryan on Scal and Pals. It's available on radio.com, wherever you find your podcasts, and we love having Ryan McDonough on the program. Ryan, just away from the court for 1 second, we were amazed and gave Adam Silver a lot of credit for pulling the plug on the season way back in March and doing it really before anybody else did. And you know, anyone, other league had kind of realized that this is what we must do. Now we flash forward 4.5 months, and it seems like the NBA is leading the way in terms of how it was properly supposed to be done to get back to playing. They got the bubble set up. Everybody's testing negative. All of the players are playing. Granted, there's nothing we can do about the fans, but the players seem like they're in kind of a safe situation right now. I mean, should we really be applauding the job that the NBA has done to not just get the season started, but to really have it going and make us feel like, you know what, there's not even any question that they're going to make it through this whole thing?
Yeah, absolutely. The first word that comes to mind when you say Adam Silver to me is leadership. And leadership he's shown throughout the pandemic, as you mentioned. He was the first major sports commissioner to shut a league down. He made that decision on his own, guys. It's not like he pulled all 30 teams. When he got word that Rudy Gobert tested positive for COVID-19 in Oklahoma City on March 11th, he pulled the plug, and the other owners and players lined up behind him when he did that. And ever since then, guys, I think one of the real keys here, and Tony knows this from a former player's perspective, is the relationship between Adam Silver, Michelle Roberts, who is the head of the Players Association, and then Chris Paul, who is the president of the Players Association. Those three have had great communication throughout. They showed great leadership throughout. And I think because of that, guys, it was really unique that when the NBA was thinking about restarting, they didn't even put it to a vote of the 400 or 500 players in the league. Adam Silver, along with Michelle Roberts and Chris Paul on the player side, just decided to do it. They came up with a plan. The plan has worked very well so far, including in-market testing and workouts prior to arrival in Orlando, and then more testing when the players arrive in Orlando. And I think that the results speak for themselves. You see great basketball, competitive games starting early in the afternoon and going late at night. And probably more importantly, guys, with where we are as a country, for the third week in a row, zero positive COVID-19 tests out of the close to 350 NBA players tested in the bubble.
Yeah, there's just no getting around it. The relationship that the PA has with the NBA is really unmatched in any other sport right now, and certainly it reflects in how well this whole bubble thing has taken place. Ryan, certainly appreciate the time, appreciate you coming on, and we'll check in with you again, hopefully when we get into some playoff basketball.
Absolutely.
Anytime, guys. Yeah, 15 of the 16 are about to be set, but keep an eye on that 8 seed in the Western Conference. Things are getting very interesting out west.
Do the Bulls still have a chance? Is there any way we can get them into the mix?
No, but one final thought before I run. The Charlotte Hornets have now passed the Washington Wizards in the standings. So Charlotte, despite not playing, is ahead of Washington. I don't know how it's possible, but the Wizards are somehow in 10th in a 9-team Eastern Conference playoff bubble.
That is crazy. That's so crazy. Ryan, great stuff, and we love your stuff when you come on the show. You give us great knowledge and insight. Thanks so much, and continue having fun down there.
Yeah, anytime, guys. Always great to be on with you, too.
You got it. There he is, Ryan McDonough, Radio.com Sports NBA Insider on the SDCCU Fan Hotline. Insider calls brought to you by Pennzoil. Motor oil's made from natural gas. The proof is in the Pennzoil. And remember, you can hear Ryan on Scal and Pals. That's Ryan and Brian Scalabrini, the former player, available on Radio.com. They do two podcasts a day, he was telling me. Wherever you find your podcast, great basketball talk with everything you need to hear on the NBA. Just search SCAL, S-C-A-L.
Ryan McDonough, all NBA, everything NBA, I should say. Let's step away, pay some bills. When we return, Scraby's got his big five lined up and ready to go. This is Gwen and Chris, San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3, The Fan.
4:39 is the time. Good luck for the Padres, by the way. The Diamondbacks, who have been scoring like 2.5 runs per game so far this season, worst in baseball, broke out of it last night, put two touchdowns up on the Houston Astros. So
we got a story about that in the Big Five I think you guys are going to love.
All right. Well, that's coming up here shortly. But first, a check of traffic with Kelly Danik, and then to the aforementioned Big Five.
Busy freeways this afternoon, and it's not just the freeways. Surface Street accident in Spring Valley. This is the intersection of Sweetwater and Hamishaw Road. Looks like car and motorcycle involved in this one. Looks like you've got lanes blocked. An accident's up inside of the 805 before Mira Mesa Boulevard. Looks like a couple vehicles involved in this one. Appears to be in the center of Vibe, but it looks like someone is blocking the HOV lane as well. traveling on the northbound 15 before Camino del Norte. Stalled vehicle over to the shoulder. Eastbound side of the 78 got a stall blocking the Jefferson Street off-ramp. In our East County, we still have crews battling a vegetation fire eastbound 8 at West Main Street that has still got the right lane blocked. I'm Kelly Danick with Gwynn and Chris, San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
It's now time to expand our horizons, step outside the box.
Who the hell are you guys?
And turn this show upside down.
No, whatever it is, no.
Gwynn and Chris will now talk about the best of the rest in the one, the only, the extraordinary. The Big Five, which starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
One thing before we get into the Big Five. This hour is brought to you by Spectrum Business. Now more than ever, small businesses need the best internet and phone solutions at the best value. Spectrum Business is proud to help, offering new customers 1 month of internet, voice, and TV service for free. Visit business.spectrum.com today to learn more. And let's get into it.
Number five.
It's getting chippy in the Big Ten. I don't know if you guys heard about this, but it's not with anyone on the field. It's between two big-time coaches, Michigan's Jim Harbaugh and Ohio State's Ryan Day. On a conference call, Harbaugh asked Day about a photo that reportedly showed Buckeyes assistant Al Washington working with Ohio State's linebackers, and NCAA rules don't permit on-field instruction until tomorrow. So apparently, Day said to Jim Harbaugh on the conference call, "How about I worry about my team and you worry about yours?" So getting a little...
Wait, now, run that back, say that again.
"How about I worry about my team and you worry about yours?" is what according to Bucknuts.com.
What?
I've looked into it. It's a legitimate
website. That is such a thing?
It is. This was pulled from ESPN as well, so they did their due diligence. But according to Bucknuts.com...
Oh, you just wanted to say that again, didn't you?
No, I'm serious. This is the person who reported this is from Bucknuts.com.
Yes, you just wanted to say that again, didn't you?
Yes. During an Ohio State team meeting later on Monday, according to Bucknuts.com, Dave reportedly told his players that the Wolverines better hope for a mercy rule this season because his team was, quote, going to hang 100 on him, end quote. So they're already... dueling in the press right now, Jim Harbaugh and Ryan Day. Tony, who ranks higher in your college coaches list and why between those two guys?
Harbaugh ranks higher to me. Day just inherited what Urban Meyer gave him. So he ain't proved to me nothing yet. I'm sure there are a lot of Ohio State fans that hate me right now because I said that. But yeah, I would put Harbaugh's coaching pedigree up against Day's for right now. I got Harbaugh.
All right. Chris, who do you got, Ryan Day or Jim Harbaugh, and why?
I got Jim Harbaugh because if I didn't and he happened to be in San Diego and listening right now, he'd kick my butt.
It's true.
No, I'd go with Harbaugh. I mean, he's accomplished more. I mean, he's been to a Super Bowl in the NFL. I mean, he's led Stanford. He's led Michigan. He hasn't beaten Ohio State. And if you're an Ohio State fan, you say, well, then how can you go with Harbaugh? Well, the same way Tony can, because what's Ryan Day done other than stand on the sidelines and inherit a stacked team that, you know, beat Michigan last year, probably will beat him again. I will give Ryan Day credit. I think that's a funny line. How about you worry about my team and, I'll worry about mine. But, you know, the thing is... Does Ohio State have to push the envelope and cheat on everything? Can they just not wait another day until they start their practice?
Oh, they're not the only one.
No, I know they're not, but it's not like Ohio State.
They're usually leading the pack, though.
Yes, yeah, they're always out there leading the pack. And you know what? If anybody was going to cheat in the Big Ten, it should be Rutgers or Iowa or, you know, one of these other nondescript schools. But Ohio State can play by the rules and still beat everybody by 40 points. So they really ought to, you know, clean that up a little bit.
The Ohio State.
Yeah, whatever.
Number four.
Here's the story about the Diamondbacks and Astros. Astros pitcher Lance McCullers is not a fan of the Diamondbacks right now because he got tagged for 8 earned runs in the 4th inning last night, and he seems to think it had to do with a planned opening of the roof after 3 innings. He said to the Houston Chronicle after the game, quote, "Opening the roof in the 4th is ass. is what he said, end quote.
It's what? That's funny, though.
He says, opening the roof in the fourth is ass.
Who's that according to? Bucknuts.com?
Yes. No, actually, this one is according to the Houston Chronicle.
Okay.
Dusty Baker said he notified the team before the game that it would happen at some point, but apparently McCullers wasn't listening because he told MLB.com there were some routine fly ball or there were routine balls that kind of carried up there and got deep. It got very dry. I was trying to lick my fingers. I was warned I couldn't do that.
Oh, my
obviously,
God.
Obviously, COVID. But like I said, the stuff was there. I felt really good. So I'll just keep making I'll just keep moving forward.
Wait, time out. Time out. Time out.
The stuff was there.
He went from it was got real dry in there and I was licking my fingers to making it seem like he couldn't really grip the ball, but the stuff was there though.
The stuff
despite
was there.
All that.
Yeah. The stuff was there. Wow. As you can tell, he's an Astros player and he got lit up on social media. But I want to ask you guys, are baseball guys, Chris, does he have a legit gripe here? Should they be able to open the stadium in the middle of a game?
You know, when his father pitched for the Padres, Lance McCullers, they called him the baby Goose. I don't know if you remember that. He came in after Goose Gossage, and he kind of was similar, so they called him the baby Goose. On this one, Lance McCullers sounds like the baby Lance McCullers. And that's just basically it. Dude, you gave up 8 runs. Your manager told you they were going to open the roof before the game. Right? So there's no excuses. You got no excuses. Pitch under the conditions and be quiet.
Before we get to Tony, I kind of agree. You shouldn't change the playing conditions in the middle of a game.
Knock it off.
Isn't that changing
Are
the playing conditions?
Are we serious right now? Playing conditions change all the time.
Okay.
Like the roof, if it starts raining, they close the roof. How is that any different?
Oh, I think you got him on that one, Tony.
I'm just saying.
Okay, what do you have to say, Tony?
You can't give up an 8 spot, including an inside to Parker, that, and then complain about it. I mean, to me, it's the exact opposite of competing out there, right?
You gave up a snowman in the fourth inning, Grady.
I know.
Clearly, it fell apart for you. We're going to go with the whole routine balls. By the way, it's Arizona. Doesn't matter if have you been there for spring training? You actually haven't. He's in Florida. The ball flies like that with the roof open too, buddy. It's actually probably worse. So, I mean, listen, the ball flies regardless of whether you're in Arizona or not. Whether the roof is closed or not. And it's just sad that, you know, he's crying about the roof being open.
But he wasn't allowed to lick his fingers.
Couldn't lick his fingers because his World Series ring that he stole in 2017 was in the way.
As you can
I'm
tell.
I'm just saying, Lance, I've seen him pitch. He's much better than this right here.
All right. Yes.
I agree with that.
I thought that was amazing when I read that. I thought that was hilarious.
He said, I can't lick my fingers, but the stuff was there, though.
The stuff was there.
That is the ultimate pitcher thing to say.
It got very dry. I was trying to lick my fingers. I was warned I couldn't do that. Obviously COVID. But like I said, the stuff was there. It's so dramatic.
I'll tell you one thing, man. That Bucknuts.com website, they don't miss anything.
They don't. They don't. I couldn't believe that either when I saw that.
Number 3.
The Athletics' Jay Glazer was doing a mailbag recently and was asked what a fair price would be for the 49ers to offer star tight end George Kittle. Glazer said, quote, he's going to break the bank and rightfully so. He's someone you don't have to worry about because he has a work ethic. He's not just trying to be famous. He's trying to be great. That's a big thing. Too many of these cats try to be famous instead of being great, not realizing that if you're great, you will be famous. George Kittle could have dominated in any generation or era. That's quite a rare find, end quote. Tony, would you break the bank for George Kittle if you are the 49ers GM?
Break the bank? I don't know if I'm breaking the bank for any tight end. Not named Tony Gonzalez or like Gronk, like some of the best to ever do it.
George Kittle.
Although, listen, that's just me. But if I'm the 49ers, I think I do break the bank. This guy means a little bit more to your team than just catching the football. He blocks. He's kind of like he's like the team energy, right? It seemed like when he was in games, this team was different. The couple games he missed, they didn't look like the same team without him out there. So Yes, I think you got to kind of give, you got to pay the man. 49ers, you want to take that next step, he's going to be a big part of it.
Chris, would you break the bank for George Kittle if you were 49ers general manager?
I was John Lynch Jr. I have to break the bank for George Kittle because my quarterback is so bad, he can't throw the ball further than 5 yards down the field. So
Showtime!
Tight end to catch passes on that team. No, in all seriousness, George Kittle really has a perfect storm because he's on a team that needs him desperately, and not because the quarterback, but because they have no wide receivers. They don't have any. And the one guy that they did have, Deebo Samuel, got injured. So George Kittle, he's a really good player, and he's in a really perfect situation because, yes, the 49ers have to break the bank.
All right. Good. I'm glad you both answered that way.
Number two.
The Pittsburgh Steelers haven't had any players officially opt out of the 2020 NFL season, but Coach Mike Tomlin isn't even sure there will be a full season to opt out of. Appearing on NFL Network's Good Morning Football today, Tomlin cautioned that he doesn't necessarily think the league will make it through the 2020 campaign because of the COVID-19 pandemic. He said, quote, "I don't know that I'm extremely confident," per the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, "giving the issues MLB has faced since its own attempt to begin play, but I think we're all proceeding with caution and working extremely hard not to become a part of that." And he's kind of really the first coach that said something like this. So, Chris, you're up first. How do you like your head coach dealing with this? Do you want him to be like Bruce Arians and just go forward, everything's fine? Or do you want him to be like Mike Tomlin and have a little bit of truth to it?
I guess it depends what kind of coach I want. Do I want a guy who's just
a liar
or somebody that's looking at things realistically? I tend to go with the Mike Tomlin school of thought. I mean, anybody who says that they're not a little concerned about the ability of pro football to finish an entire 16-game schedule or 17 games or whatever they're doing these days without any complications from the coronavirus just isn't really very intelligent, I don't think. So I think Mike Tomlin's really saying the only thing you can say and make any sense. I appreciate Bruce Arians, and I appreciate everybody who has that pie-in-the-sky attitude, but I think Mike Tomlin's a little more accurate.
Tony, how do you like your head coach dealing with COVID in the NFL?
I would like to think I want an honest head coach. Someone's just going to... I think it actually it's to your own good that you have a coach that's honest, because then you know all the protocols and things are 100% going to be followed, because they already feel like this is going to be a tough hill to climb. It doesn't surprise me Mike Tomlin is at the forefront of this, being honest and right up top with it. I think that's the way it's got to be, because once you set that tone as a head coach or a manager, players kind of follow suit. If you just full steam ahead like nothing ever is going to happen, players are going to follow suit with that too.
Mm-hmm. Number one.
We've hit every newspaper in the country, I think, for stories today, and this one comes from the Bay Area News Group and Jerry McDonald. Quarterback of the Las Vegas Raiders, Derek Carr, wasn't thinking about opting out of the 2020 NFL season because, well, I'll just say his quote, "I did not think about opting out. I have a lot to prove to myself. I have a lot to prove to my organization. I'm going to be completely honest with you. I'm tired of being disrespected. So there was no question I was going to play this year," end quote. Tony, is Derek Carr disrespected?
Disrespected? He kind of is disrespected.
Really? I didn't expect that. I did not expect that.
He kind of is. You listen to Raider fans, they kind of disrespect him from time to time. And listen, if you're John Gruden, you want your quarterback coming in feeling like he has a whole lot to prove.
He's got Marcus Mariota right behind him.
You got Marcus Mariota right behind you. I'm sure that played into the whole disrespect thing. Raider fans are on his head pretty tough all last season. So I kind of do think he has been disrespected, and I think it's a good thing for him. Now hopefully it translates on the field and see what happens this year.
Chris, is Derek Carr being disrespected?
Had I gone first, I was going to say that, yes, he's been disrespected because of all of the things that Tony said. But now that I heard what Tony said, I don't really think he's been disrespected. I think everybody's been pretty honest about Derek Carr. The guy hasn't played very well. He hasn't won a lot of football games. I mean, scoreboard. I mean, he's got to get the job done. He's got to do a lot better. Because if you get the job done, you get your team to the postseason one time, people are going to all of a sudden respect you. So I don't know that he's been disrespected. I think people have just been kind of commenting on his performance, which hasn't been very good.
Question.
Yeah.
Question. Have you ever heard this before? This guy is the worst player ever.
Mm-hmm. Yes, when it's they talk about Derek Carr.
That's kind of disrespectful because there's a lot of other worst players than Derek Carr.
Yeah, like his brother David.
As I said, if I would have gone first, I would have agreed with you. But I was just throwing out a little extra.
Hot take from
David,
a guy who's
David, if you're listening, field. I did not mean to set you up like that.
Yes. Address your concerns to Matthew Scraby.
10 seconds.
Yes.
All right. That's our Big Five today. Coming up, a reset of the program. Next, Gwen and Chris.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.